I can't. Rodney Barber does it again.
This is Buccaneers Total Access with Rondé Barber.
Dropping back to throw, Newton wants to get it all on one play. The ball batted in the air. It's intercepted. Picked off by Rondé Barber. Rondé Barber Day at Raymond James Stadium. He's got a pick.
Now your host, TJ Reeves.
And good evening. Hello there. Welcome in. It is another edition of Buccaneers Total Access here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. And I'm on the mend. I'm about 70% of better voice. 2-0, good to have you here. And you're going to earn the check big time tonight because you're going to do most of the talking. Does that sound good?
I love it, man. You lost your voice on Sunday?
Yeah, it started to go Sunday and then Sunday night and all of that. So I've been on the mend, and I want to thank publicly a lot of you that have been texting me, emailing me, tweeting me with all of the remedies, including, you know, hot tea with honey, and then some things that we can't even mention on Buccaneers Total Access. So thank you for all of that. I don't feel bad. I just sound a little gruff and a little different. But again, enough about me. Great to have you here. There's a lot to talk to you about, Rondé Barber, including a crazy win. You have been in 16 seasons a part of a lot of wild wins. It's a regular season game, so that's understood. Yeah, Where does this one Sunday rank?
Well, it's the best, man, because it's the latest. That's the way I've been describing it. Yeah, I know I've been in a few overtime games. I can't remember the numbers, to be honest with you. It doesn't feel like we've won that many. That's a question for like Scott Smith or somebody from the Bucs.
Here's one that I would compare it to. The 05 game with the Falcons, speaking of them, at the end of the year that ends up going to overtime, where the opening kick was fumbled by the Bucs and Dwayne White blocked the field goal, and then eventually you guys kicked a field goal to win. Yes. That was drama. How would that game, just for recent reference, compare to Sunday?
See, I completely forgot about that one until you just mentioned it. But, yeah, we've you know, whenever you get into overtime, first of all, I'll go back to the game itself. I was joking with a bunch of guys after the game. I may even mentioned it to you on your show that, you know, you'll play a lot of years and not have a game that comes anywhere close to playing out like that played. And I was joking that I said, yeah, I think I've seen about a dozen of those games on TV, but never been a part of it. You know, a game where you're like, I cannot believe I'm watching this. But that's kind of how it felt on the sideline, especially the last, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes of the game, you know, when our offense really went to work, you know, had, you know, really two straight drives where Carolina couldn't stop them to go up, you know, to tie and then get the score, then to tie and then march all the way down in overtime. That was a pretty exciting finish for us, you know, especially on the defensive side because we got to watch every single snap of it. So it's hard to compare. You know, you really can't compare. You know, I'd love to, but to be honest with you, I just don't remember any more of the ones that I've had that were more exciting than that. So, you know, for now, for sake of, you know, simpleness, I'll say that's the best one.
How about that? All right, Buck fans, love it. You know, another one that got brought up, and you'll immediately remember this because it was early on in your career, the 2000 Monday night game, the rematch with the Rams after the 99 NFC Championship game.
Did that game go into overtime?
It did not end up going to overtime, but again, that was a crazy finish because, as you remember, you were on the field. Torrey Holt had the long catch and run for the touchdown. Then the wild drive led by Sean King, Warrick Dunn, and Keyshawn and company ends up getting in the end zone.
Yeah,
then you guys had to pick Kurt Warner there in the final 30 seconds to keep them from getting into tying scoring range there at the end themselves.
Yeah, there was that one. Yeah, there was another one, the Philadelphia game that ended in a 62-yard field goal. That was another one by Matt Bryant. That was another one that was kind of nail-biting. The Indy game where we lost, that one was
right. –
Yeah, that was drama filled. If I've ever, you know, been a part of one, in 04, Tony's first game back here. So yeah, I've been a part of some, and you should. I mean, you've been around as long as I have. You're gonna get some close games, and to be honest with you, most games in the NFL end with, you know, it's usually a score. I mean, not many games end in blowouts in the NFL. I mean, some do. The one last night did, but not a lot of games come down to. You know, guys sitting on the ball for, you know, a whole quarter, like the 49ers did last week,
right,
or last night. Most of them are, you know, a play or two at the end of the game is going to make a difference. And, you know, that was certainly the case for us on Sunday. So, you know, you're going to get some exciting games in the NFL. It's the product they want, you know. The NFL is good because, you know, every game is generally interesting. They got a lot of parity in this league. And, you know, the teams that, you know, have that minute advantage, whatever it may be, are the ones that come away with wins most of the time. And, you know, fortunately, that was us on Sunday.
Voice of Rondé Barber. Again, it's Buccaneers Total Access. We're excited to bring it to you here tonight. We will take your phone calls at 990-4620. If you are in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. To join us tonight, toll-free, outside of the Tampa Bay area. We also are going to have a special guest coming up in the next segment. The offensive line is doing a big Thanksgiving fundraiser tonight, and we'll have I'll just put it this way. It'll be a surprise. Yeah. A special member of the O-line will be joining us here to say hey and to tell you about what's going on with the O-line. Always got a nod to the big guys whenever they want to have a little airtime, right, Rondé?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think any of us can stop them from busting in and taking the mic, so. But, yeah, we'll have one on a little bit later to tell us about what they have going on and something that they have going on every year, and I'm sure people that are listeners or followers know what it is. But, you know, we'll allow them to spread the word via my radio show tonight.
Excellent. And speaking of the offensive line, I know you're on the other side of the ball, but you go against these guys some in practice. Mm-hmm. What a tremendous job of putting together what they've been able to put together, coaching staff aligning these guys because of injuries and adjustments. And really, Rondé, truthfully, they have not missed a beat. And that is a testament to their play and the coaching staff putting them in the right positions to play, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, it'd be easy to, you know, to say, you know, for a lot of people to say 5 weeks ago when, you know, when we lost, you know, really in the preseason, we lost Davin. And then a couple weeks ago, we lost Carl, you know, to be like, wow, that's two-fifths of us, the starting line. And actually, we got a new starting right tackle in Damar Dotson. You know, three-fifths of a starting offensive line that you expected in the camp is different. I mean, it's ripe for excuses. But, you know, they've stepped up, you know, and it's impossible to tell you how well they've played, considering all the change that they've had to go through here, you know, the first 11 weeks of the season. You know, they get a lot of credit, man. I mean, Doug Martin's hitting his stride, and he's not doing it by himself. You know, Josh is playing great football. It's not because he's, you know, scrambling around, running around in the pocket. I mean, he's got time to throw the football, and it's, you know, it shows. It's a credit to those guys up front. Obviously, it's a credit to those coaches. You know, they're the most underappreciated position on the football field. There's no doubt about it. They get no spotlight whatsoever, ever.
There's a flag.
Yeah,
right?
unless somebody's talking bad about them. The only time they get a nod of acclamation is when, you know, somebody's patting them on the back for how good their running back did. So it's kind of the existence they live. But I think they like that existence, and you know, there's a reason we're playing well on offense, and it starts with those guys for sure.
All right. Again, we've got so much to talk about, including the Falcons coming up, a little bit about Thanksgiving. Before the first time out here, Tim in Pinellas wants to say hey on Buccaneers Total Access with Rondé Barber. Hey, Tim. I'm not sure if Tim is there. We don't hear Tim, so I'm told he's gone. He was hanging in there, I think, to tell us about exciting Buccaneer moments. And again, you know, it's a regular season game, and you have been part of playoff wins and even a Super Bowl win. So I guess the natural question is, you don't want to get too high on the highs. This is a four-game win streak. So tell me about trying to put that behind you and prepare for the Falcons this week, because, you know, you could have the mindset of, hey, we're doing pretty well. We're feeling pretty good at four in a row, right?
We never, you know, to be honest with you, we go into the building and we never even address four-game winning streaks or, you know, two or three game losing streak, whatever we had early in the year, three game losing streak. You know, it's every single week. It's the same message, you know, win this one season, you know, and we got 16 one game seasons, like as coach likes to portray it as. And, you know, if you approach each week without bias from the past week or preference to the next week, then you can, you know, focus on your job, prepare just for the Atlanta Falcons and not think about the Denver Broncos right after that or the New Orleans Saints, you know, immediately after that. You know, we're going to work and it'll be all Atlanta. You know, when that game is over, digest it, process it, put it away, and start on the next season. And we've done that all year. And I think that's, you know, been huge for us, you know, as a team, as a mentality. So we don't get too high and we don't get too low about wins or losses. We just go and do our job and trust the things that we've, you know, that we did all off season and did during the preseason and that we do every week to guide us, you know, into that following week and try to go get just that win, just try to win that season, and the rest of it will take care of itself. You know, he had a great message that he sent to a bunch of the guys on the plane. It's funny, we landed on a plane and he gave everybody sent a bunch of guys text messages and said, trust in the process and the results will take care of itself. And that's basically what we're doing. So,
like that. Love the insight that you get here on Buccaneers Total Access, and that's the voice of Ronde Barber. More on him and from him coming up, more of your calls, and also a special surprise for Thanksgiving, something neat going on with the Buccaneers offensive line, and we'll talk about that as the show goes on as well. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access with Ronde Barber on 620 WDAE, home of the Bucs.
Shotgun formation from the 15, first down. Freeman looking, throws a sideline route. It is caught. Dallas Clark, did he have 4 feet in bounds? If he did, it's a touchdown, Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Bucs win in overtime.
Never gets old, does Never. It, to hear Mean Gene Deckerhoff on the call there
all.
From Sunday, Ronde, as Dallas Clark did get those feet down. What was going through your mind as that ball was in the air and he came down with it? Do you even remember?
No, I was running on the field with everybody else. You know, I don't remember if there was a thought. Yeah, I know there were some people that were, we had just went over the overtime procedures. It's that week because there was an overtime game, the one that ended in a tie the week before. So we, I think a lot of guys knew, but he wanted to make sure everybody knew, you know, that, you know, field goals don't win. It's not sudden death, yada, 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 yada. And it was just prophetic that it went into overtime. We just marched straight down the field and basically ran the ball straight down the field and then got a couple of, you know, key third down conversions. And of course, Dallas's touchdown. So, it was more like relief. And I think as a team, we felt like we were better than Carolina was. Obviously we've been playing better than them. Their record, really isn't indicative of how well they've played this year. I mean, they lead the league or tops the league in a lot of categories. They just, for every reason, can't get it figured out to get a W. We obviously didn't want to be that team that, you know, they figured it out with. So I think we trusted that, you know, everything that we prepared for. And you know, I think that's a lot of the speaking points that have been in the paper this week, but we really do spend a lot of time in those situations when you're down by 10 points or 11 points in this case, and you're going to need to get two scores and how to manage that. And, you know, you're going to have to get a stop on defense and then go back on a 2-minute drill. I mean, we've done all that in practice. So we trusted our training and went out there and did it. And it's really kind of rewarding, you know, to see it come to fruition because, you know, most of the time you're, you know, especially during camp, you're like, why are we going over this situation again, you know, but it played out in the end for us. And, you know, going forward, he'll not have to look anywhere else but to this game and say, see, this is what happens, you know, when you prepare and you prepare for success. And that's exactly what we did.
And again, we will take your phone calls at 990-4620 and Pinellas 727-461-4620, toll free wherever you can hear the show outside the Tampa Bay area at 1-800-596-BUCKS. You can also tweet me questions as we go. We'll try to work those in. You can't get through. You can't wait on hold. Tweet those to Buck Sideline Guy, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy, and we'll get to those. All right, here is Carlos in Orlando. You will begin things tonight here on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, what's up, man? Ronde, wow, I can't even say enough, man. Just speaking to you right now, I'm in shock. I want to be your biggest fan, man.
Appreciate it.
Just wanted to say, man, one, congrats on, you know, playing safety right now. You're playing amazing, but it goes unnoticed. A lot of people didn't realize it. I have, because I'm, like, one of your biggest fans. But, you know, that play at 3rd-and-1 when you came off the corner on that blitz, I mean, huge play. You know, definitely swung the momentum of the game, and I thought that that was one of the biggest plays of the game, man. So I just want to congratulate you, tell you how much of a big fan I am, and keep it going.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Carlos. It's I like blitzing.
That was on Jonathan Stewart, if I recall. You came off the edge, right?
Yeah, I did. You know, and it's not funny, but you watch the film. You know, it was a play. Probably it was actually the first play of the second half. They lined up in the same formation. Looks like they were going to run the same play, and we had the same defensive call. And I was crossing line of scrimmage. You know, they blew the play dead because of a false start, and it would have been the exact same result. So I wouldn't have got that. I probably wouldn't have got that opportunity later in the game. And I don't know if they didn't scout themselves or see it, you know, when they called it, or Cam didn't notice that we were running the exact same defense the second time that play came around. But, you know, as soon as he started to cadence, you know, I knew that it was going to be a tackle for loss. It was either going to be a tackle for loss or a sack. And I was watching the film yesterday, and it's pretty funny because the tackle that I ran by did the exact same thing on both snaps, and nobody picked me up either time. So,
which you got to love that when you come clean there. It's just a matter of then make the play, right? You're thinking of fundamentals, make the tackle, make the play.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, easy tackle. I mean, he didn't even see me coming. I mean, I almost could have taken the handoff.
That would have been interesting, too. Yeah, yeah. All right, continue on the phones. Here is Jamie in Lando Lakes here with Rondé Barber on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, first of all, TJ and Rondé, I'm going to say have a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Likewise. And,
I met Rondé. Rondé was back in 1999 at Cheval. You were at an NFL Players Shootout,
a golf tournament,
you and your brother. And I have to admit, you guys were – I was in charge of making sure all the players got everything they needed as far as drinks, balls, everything. And you and your brother are very cordial, very nice. The other two people I really remember were Keith Byers and Chester McLaughlin. Nice people, nice guys. My question is, I have a two-part question. Is it true that you and your brother, on drafting, instead of sitting in front of the TV, you guys went out and played a round of golf?
That is very true.
And the other guy, you kind of hit on it before. I want to hang up and listen. When you are in the blitz box, because you're back there in safety, and you see the quarterback, you know, right there in the shotgun, what is it you're actually focusing on? I know you have certain packages. You got the running back, because like he said, on the 3rd-and-1, you were right there.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how it is every single time you're in that blitz package. You're either in the backfield before the guy gets the ball, or when the quarterback takes one step back, you're right there. What do you still get the butterflies when your number's called in that situation? And what actually goes to your mind? And I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Yeah, you get a lot there in that question, but it's – you know, it's all timing. You know, you get a lot of cues, you know, quarterback's cadence. Once you get used to it in a game, you know, the shot clock will tell you a lot, because, you know, he's looking at that big, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 at one end of the field. And I'm looking at, you know, if you're good, you're looking at it on the other end of the field, because, you know, that'll give you an indicator as well. So, you know, I've always been able to time it up based on, you know, a bunch of these little cues that you get, you know, whether it's an offensive lineman tapping the center. You see that with some of these guys. So yeah, I don't necessarily get butterflies. I'm telling myself, I really hope one of these guys doesn't, you know, turn out and block me, you know, cause if I'm especially hitting inside in the A or B gap, you know, between the guard and the tackle, the end, you know, it's not very likely if they block me that I'm going to beat them.
Yeah. Cause you're giving up a little weight there.
Giving up just a little bit of a weight. So I do get excited. I get anxious sometimes, you know. I had that offsides penalty against Oakland, and I was so mad afterwards, because it was a double A gap hit, and there was absolutely no way they could have blocked me. He got me on a hard count. I jumped offsides. So I was, you know, beating my head after the game, because it would have been an easy sack. But it's just something you get used to, you know, just something you over time and over, you know, just practice and, you know, again, preparation. you know, that just becomes instinct. And, you know, it's been a big part of what I've done my entire career.
Jamie was asking about draft day. Recount the story briefly, because you and Tiki were both waiting to be drafted.
Yeah, we were terrible golfers, obviously. We were 21 years old, probably played golf twice before that. But we had a buddy that played that was on the golf team, you know, and, you know, he's said, well, you guys want to sit around and watch this, or you want to be distracted? And we obviously chose to be distracted. And so we played Birdwood Golf Course out, up in Charlottesville. It's right off the campus, which, you know, I'd love to go back now and see what it looks like. Cause I swear I haven't been back there to play that since then. But it was a good day. It was a nice, beautiful day in April, and, you know, get the call about the, I don't know, about the 12th hole or 13th hole. Tiki's getting drafted by the Giants at, you know, at 36. And, you know, I'm like, oh, good, you know.
Good for him.
Yeah, great for Tiki. So we finished golf. You know, this is, you know, another hour later, still no call, you know. All right, go back, change. We're all going to dinner that night, just, you know, a little party with all our friends. You know, it's an hour into dinner, you know, probably 3 hours later before I get a call from Tampa, getting picked by the 66 pick, which was just around later, same pick, but it seemed like it took forever to get to that pick. And I was sitting at dinner, and
if I'm not mistaken, in those days, in the second round, it was 10 minutes a pick, and then at least 3 minutes, if not 5 minutes, in the third round. So it did take forever to come back around.
It took absolutely forever. Longer than I wanted it to, but, you know, all in all, we got drafted on the same day, 30 picks apart, you know, one full round apart. And it all started on the golf course that day. So
who was on the phone? Recount that story.
Who was on the phone?
When you're at dinner from the Bucks, who's on the phone at the other end?
Actually, Nancy Hasselman called
me.
She's still in the building. You know, she's been there. She called and said, coach would like to talk to you.
And coach was?
Was Tony Dungy. And, you know, I got on the phone and you know, it was, you know, real short, as Tony was like to do, you know, real short, to the point conversation, and we're going to pick you and next pick. And that was it. And walked back into the, cause obviously I walked out. I didn't take that call at dinner. I walked out and said, I'm going to Tampa. I don't think anybody expected me to go to Tampa. But that's where I ended up. That's where I've been for 16 years. So I am very, very happy with that day. You know, all in all, it's a great, great memory.
Great stuff here from Ronde Barber. And let's go to Joan in Tampa here while we have a second on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Joan.
Hi, Ronde.
Hey, Joan.
Speaking of Charlottesville, I was just up there for the Miami game. I have two boys there and a husband who graduated, and it was the most wonderful weekend. You were on the Jumbotron saying you were once and always a Wahoo.
Yep.
They won the game. Then my son picked me up at the airport when we came and watched the San Diego game, and you won that. So that was a great weekend.
Very nice.
Yeah. But my question is, I try to watch the game and understand it.
Uh-huh.
With the secondary, what makes a secondary a good secondary? Is it technique of each individual, or is it when it's a zone, is it knowing when to – you know, move out here, let a player go into another zone. It just seems like, you know, we have a lot of talent. Seems like we should be getting a little bit better.
When you get familiar with one another, it obviously makes it a little bit easier. You know, the great secondaries that I've played in, you know, had a bunch of veteran guys on it. Me and Lynch and Dexter Jackson, Brian Kelly. You know, even back when Donnie was here.
Donnie Abraham
was here. You know, we had guys that had played for a number of years, and you knew the ins and outs of it. You know, I talk about to our guys all the time about owning what they do or what they put on film or what they, you know, what they practice. And one of the things when our defense was really good, especially our secondary was really good, is we knew exactly what we were doing. We felt like we owned it, like we did it better than anybody else in the league. You know, we certainly need to work towards that, you know, in this defense, and specifically in the secondary, since you're asking me about it. But you know, that'll come. You know, it's everybody wants immediate results, you know, and you know just plug talent in and it'll work. But you know, it very rarely works that way. It'll take time, you know, obviously for a lot of our young guys to, you know, get comfortable in the system and be, you know, confident enough to know exactly what to do on every single snap. And when they do, you know, they will be really good because, like she said, there is a ton of talent back there. Just be patient. Believe me, it'll be fun.
That's the voice of Rhonda Barber. And, Joan, thanks for the phone call. We'll get to more of your phone calls. We've got a special guest coming up in the next segment. We'll save the surprise here, the offensive line doing something neat for Thanksgiving. We'll talk a little Thanksgiving with Rhonda as well. And then we'll talk some Atlanta Falcons as we continue. It is Buccaneers Total Access. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access with Rhonda Barber now continues on 620 WDAE, home of the Bucs.
We are back. We're going to take more of your calls. Some of you are also tweeting in. You can continue to do so at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC Buck Sideline Guy. I'll get a question or a comment to Rhonda if you can't wait on hold. If you are on hold, hang on. We'll also talk Buccaneers and Falcons. We're going to have a busy last half hour, 2-0, and right now. We're going to bring in a special guest because there's something that's going to actually, we'll wait just a second, but there's something special going on tonight involving the offensive line and Thanksgiving, which, by the way, before the guest joins us, I don't know that I've ever asked you this. Do you have any role in the preparation of Thanksgiving at all in the household? Do you cook anything for Turkey Day?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I have a wife that cooks, a mother-in-law that cooks, and my brother-in-law is a sous chef.
So there's no need.
There is absolutely no need for me.
Just
to
consumption on your part?
Yeah, to go in there and mess something up. So no, I don't do any of that. You know, my wife's Filipino, family's Filipino, so we get the turkey, but we also get a lot of, you know, traditional dishes. So it's not necessarily Thanksgiving as you would know it, other than the mass consumption of food, but it is it's a special day always.
Neat. All right, and to pick up on that point, there's something going on right now as we speak. It is turkey time with the O-line, the Buccaneers offensive line, and Davin Joseph, number 75, has been part of this now for some 6 years in the Tampa Bay area, and Davin joins us right now on Buccaneers Total Access. Big fella, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing good, Davin. You 6 years of this turkey time with the O-line, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's 6 years running now. 700 families were feeding tonight, and I think we did like over 3,500 since it started. So, going good.
That is a big number of families. How did you get involved in this? How did this get started, Davin?
Because I know a lot of.
You know, obviously, the offensive line, a lot of people in the Bucs community know about this, but give us a little bit of history of it before you go on.
It really just started with brainstorming. True Blood and I was looking to do something around the holidays, and really we just started with the idea of all the O-linemen pitching in the pot to be able to purchase meals. So we're just going to do turkeys at first, and then it turned into meals, and meals into dessert. And so cool, but the Buccaneers are really what took an idea and turned it into something great. And you know, now it's a massive drive-through, two-lane drive-through that goes through one Buccaneer place, where the fans are able to actually interact with us a little bit, where it's able to give out the turkeys, and it's become a community event where the building's very involved with volunteering. Even United Way got involved today with volunteers, and it's just a joyful event, you know, just putting a smile on somebody's face.
You've been with this United Way Suncoast for this event for a long time, Davin. You know, it does a lot in the community, is what I've read, and I wouldn't have known about this if it hadn't been for you. One of the emphases is getting people to become mentors in the community and volunteers in the community. Can you talk about that at all?
Right now, we're really recruiting volunteers and mentors, promoting literacy, of course, being active, the importance of participating in sports and performing arts. And so we need leaders in the community to be involved with our youth. And so right now, we're doing Team Davin, trying to get people to go online, go on liveunited.org / Team Davin to join. And really, you just volunteer your time, whether you want to help with an event like today, or whether you want to mentor a kid, you want to tutor, or if you want to give back in some other kind of way, maybe some any kind of service. We're just trying to get the community involved, and you know, with Live United needs all the support they can get, and I'm happy to help them in whatever way I can.
So tell me which guys are out there. You drag them out on a Tuesday night on their one day off. You get them all. Or you get just the rookies.
I got the entire offensive line. So nobody's excused on this one.
You got Donald Penn out there? Oh man.
Yeah, I even got Penn and Trueblood out here. So if I can get them guys out of bed or off the couch on a Tuesday. It's something special, so I was actually able to get them guys. But they really look forward to it. All the guys look forward to it, and you can just see them smiling while they're handing out the food. You see the fans really get a kick out of it, and all the thank yous, and just really make it worth it. So on their one day off, they're working again, but it's just in a different way.
Again, you're hearing Davin Joseph, who has been on injured reserve since the preseason. It is an event tonight, Turkey Time with the O-line, where there are, Davin, what would you estimate tonight? Dozens and dozens, if not a couple of hundred or more families who are getting Thanksgiving Day meals courtesy of the Buccaneers and the United Way Suncoast. You've had a massive turnout, I would assume, to come get the meals, right?
Yeah, of course. We have pre-selected 700, and I think – we've got all 700. This line has not budged at all, has not even, we haven't had a break at all. So that gives me a hard time because I'm in here doing an interview and not handing out turkey. See, the line's not moving fast enough. So, but it'll definitely, this event, it has a far reach. And so 700.
Yeah, that's neat. Hey, a lot of fans have wondered with your surgery, your rehab, how are you feeling? How are you doing real quick?
I'm doing great. Really doing great. Working, doing everything here, just working with the best of the best. Strength and conditioning staff, awesome. And the guys, doing my rehab in the training room, they're the best of the best. And so I have no worries and no complaints.
I like it. Gerald McCoy said he does not want to see you in training camp because all you've been doing is lifting.
Oh, my God.
He said JB has you in there straight lifting for 2 hours a day. He does not want to see you in August.
When you talk about working out, I don't know if they're bored or if they're just – they take it out on me in that weight room. So it's been pretty fun, actually, because, JB for a change is actually working out with me. So, he's putting himself just through that same punishment he's putting me through, but he's going to definitely get me strong and get me better. And so I definitely will be stronger when I come back next year.
Oh. Hey, I wonder because you're unfortunately in the same position that a lot of us are to sit and watch. How right. crazy were you going watching the end of that fourth quarter and the overtime for your teammates and the organization?
We practice it every day. Every time we practice situations. And being able to run that two-minute drill, being able to make that drive count in every scenario, every situation, we practice and practice and practice, and it shows. It showed on Sunday, and I really couldn't be more proud, but I had all the confidence in the world knowing that if we have a chance and that we need to score, that the guys are going to execute.
Wow, neat stuff. All right, one more time, Davin. They can join Team Davin. They can get in touch with the United Way Suncoast. They can also go to Buccaneers.com/Team Davin to find out more about the organization. And again, over 3,000, probably close to 3,500 or more meals have been handed out with this Turkey Time with the O-line program. Keep up the good work there tonight. It sounds like you're going to be there for a little while handing out the meals, right?
Yeah, we're going to be out pretty late. but it's okay.
It's definitely much appreciated, Davin.
All right, guys. Well, you guys have a good evening. And I'll catch up with you guys later. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you later.
All right. Yep.
Six times. Started in 2007. I don't know if he mentioned it, but special thanks to Publix and Lance Snyder and, of course, the United Way Suncoast, which he's doing a lot of good work with. So, yeah, you you put food, you mentioned food and O-linemen.
Sure.
Good things are going to usually happen. So.
Well, and these meals, so that the fans can get an idea, they're giving these families, these needy families that have been pre-selected through the United Way, a 10 to 12 pound turkey plus the cranberry sauce, the mashed potatoes and gravy, vegetables, and a pie. Yeah, I can imagine they're going to be there for a while with a long line tonight.
Yeah, no, and it's good though. It's this is one of the biggest events that, you know, as a team, you know, that we have. Not many of the other position groups have this much organization. It's just a credit to those guys, you know, to put together something like this that they're all involved in, and they do it every year. And you know, you see the signs go up around One Buck Place around Thanksgiving, and they're down around the facility in the stadium. It's turkey time with the O-line. Is you know, it's always, you know, a real, you know, you have a lot to be thankful for when you're an NFL player, and for those guys to be able to give back willingly of their time and, you know, of their money. You know, he said they came out of their pocket, you know, to put money in a pot for this, and obviously it's grown with some sponsorships or whatnot since then. And it's a great thing that this community certainly needs. And as he also mentioned, you get something like this on board with the Bucks and their staff, and the way they work within the community relations department here.
Sure,
it's definitely gonna spring to life, and that's exactly what it's done over the last 7 years, 6 years.
Again, go to buccaneers.com/teamdavin if you want to know more there about what else he's doing besides this turkey time with the O-line. It's really a great situation there with Davin and those guys helping out tonight with Thanksgiving. All right, a couple of people on the phones quickly before the timeout. They're both named Chris. The first Chris is in Virginia. We thank you for waiting. You're on Buccaneers Total Access here with Ronde Barber. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Ronde, I'm sure you know this, but you got a lot of fans up here in Virginia, so we're just excited to cheer for you.
Cool. Thank you.
My wife is not much of an NFL fan, but she's a fan when Ronde Barber's on the screen, so I get her to watch Bucks games with me that way.
I like it.
And I also wanted to just say thanks for you and your brother, I guess, co-wrote or worked with to write some children's books about you guys playing as kids.
Yep.
And a lot of fans may not know that unless they have children, but I've got three boys, and I've read those books to all my boys, and actually – my middle son, Declan, he wanted to say hi to you.
Okay. Hi, Declan. How are you?
I'm doing good.
You're doing
good?
Yeah,
he was inspired by your books, and we're gonna get him into spring football this year. And I just wondered if you had any advice for a brand new
how
football
old player. Is Declan?
Yeah, how old
Chris?
Is Declan? Declan
is 7 years old, so he's gonna play, I think, flag football this fall.
Yeah, that you know what flag football. Flag football is a great place to start. My daughter's actually playing flag football, if you can believe it or not, and she loves it. And the best thing about it is, it's without the contact, but you learn the basics of the game. And you know, for me, when you're that age, you know, football's, you know, you want to emulate some of the things that you see on TV, but really at that age, it's about having fun and about the camaraderie that you're building with your teammates. That's one of the it's one of the great things about football, and specifically sports, but football specifically, is that it's such a team game that you realize that success doesn't come individually. You know, and as he plays and when he gets into it, he'll see this, that, you know, the more you rely on your teammates and the more you can trust those guys that you're working together with, you know, the more successful and the more fun that you'll have. So that when Declan goes out and does that, you know, make sure he remembers that. It's about the fun of the game. Because for me, it's still about the fun, even though it's a job, yada, yada, yada. But at heart, I'm still a kid playing football. And that started when I was his age.
Neat. Neat stuff with that. Quickly, here is Don, who has been waiting. We'll get you in before the timeout on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
What's up, Don?
Hey, Ronde. Couple things, man.
Okay.
I just wanted to congratulate you on Total win Sunday. That was just phenomenal. And also congratulate you on the year that you're having. I've been a Bucs fan for a very long time. I think this is, from what I've seen so far this year, is your most productive season in the past 4 years.
Yeah, I can believe that.
So,
thank you.
I mean, yeah, congratulations on that. Also, I wanted to find out, Sunday's game ended on such a high.
Mm-hmm.
How does that correlate into next Sunday's game? Is it you know, because once you get up so high, it's like, oh, okay, there's sigh of relief there. Does that give you added momentum, or is there a little bit of backtracking there?
No, I don't think there's either, really. You know, this whole season, we've had some, obviously had some lows early in the year. You know, we've been on a 4-game winning streak, so we're definitely riding some high emotions after these games. But you know, no matter what, you know, Coach Chiano does a really good job of bringing us back to even and starting over and going into the next week. And I mentioned this earlier on the show. I'm not sure if you were listening, but going into the next week, not harboring on the previous week, you know, because it really doesn't matter. You know, no matter what you did the week before or what you did the week before that, it shouldn't affect how you prepare yourself for the next opponent. So, you know, that high that we felt, you know, you get Monday, you know, that's what he always says. You get Monday to celebrate it or, you know, cry over it if you lose, if that's what you want to do. And then you get to Tuesday and you're on to the next season, which for us is the Atlanta season, the 1-game Atlanta season. And so I think we've adapted that attitude. All 53 guys, 61 guys on our roster have adapted that attitude to every single week, you know, no matter whether we win or lose. And, you know, I know emotion's a big part of the game, and we're all men enough to see the big picture. But, you know, our training, or as we're training ourselves, is to say, let it go, you know, go back to work, do what you've been doing, you know, maybe tweak a little bit to get better here and there. But don't let what happened in the past or what may happen in the future, you know, affect how you prepare for that, for what's most important, and that's the next game.
Voice of Ronde Barber. We will pause here. We'll come back and talk some Atlanta Falcons and wrap it up, as that's the opponent Sunday at 1. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. And once more, thanks again to Davin Joseph and those guys with the Turkey Time with the O-Line for calling in on the show here. So it is Thanksgiving. The Falcons are the opponent, speaking of birds, so we'll get to them specifically in a second. But how does the Thanksgiving holiday, if at all, kind of play into this week of preparation? Fans are curious about that.
Oh, yeah. You know, Wednesday will be a normal Wednesday as it is Thursday, which is obviously Turkey Day. You know, it's pretty similar to how we've done in the past. You go in a little bit early, you leave a little bit earlier, and you cut out, you know, a bunch of the meetings. So the preparation is a little truncated, but you compensate that. We'll compensate that by going in a little bit earlier on Friday to get those extra, you know, get some of that meeting time back. And, you know, you adjust it here and there, just, you know, a couple of hours here and there. But for the most part, you know, you're just trying to get out in time or early enough in the day, you know, to get home, and so you can spend time with your family, which is the most important thing on Thanksgiving, obviously. You know, unless you're a head coach and you're like, this freaking holiday is taken away from my preparation, which I'm sure they're saying, you know, which I'm sure he's saying when he's making his calendar. But it is what it is. I mean, it's same scenario come Christmas time if it falls in during that time of the week. But it is important to get our work in too, because, you know, regardless of the holiday, you know, we got a game, and that's never left on any of us. You know, there was one year that we played on Thursday, played on Thanksgiving.
We did. We played the Cowboys in 06 on Thanksgiving in Dallas.
That's a little bit disheartening. You know, you just don't get time to spend with your family. Obviously, the food, you get the weekend to spend with your family, but you don't get that.
I'll tell you a quick story.
You don't get that sense of, oh, I'm home with Thanksgiving with my family, eating whatever, you're actually playing football. So
yeah, it was very weird for everybody. And, you know, we're playing the game on the day. You guys are preparing to play the game. I'm in the Dallas Cowboys old stadium press box.
Yep.
And I'll give a shout out to my producer, Mr. Excitement, Kevin Worster. Kevin Worster and I are eating Thanksgiving buffet on a paper plate with Dan Reeves, the Cowboy great and the former head coach with the Broncos and the Giants and the Falcons. So, yeah, I got to spend Thanksgiving with a paper plate in the Cowboys press box that day. And, it's, you know, it's a memory there for that.
It is what it is.
For
right?
Thanksgiving, yeah.
Our jobs don't allow much time for holidays and celebrations. But
yeah, we played on New Year's Day a year ago in Atlanta. And sometimes you play on a Christmas Day or a Christmas Eve. It's just the way that it does work out. All right, the Falcons are the opponent, and you know it's not an overstatement to say with them at 9-1, with you guys having won four straight games, and now people are kicking around the P word. I won't even say the P word here at the moment. This is, yeah, all of them are significant, but this becomes a really significant game in terms of the division and in the NFC. Is that fair? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the, you know, the crux of it, it is. There's a lot that goes into this game. You know, besides the fact that it's a division opponent, it's a home division game against the division opponent. And you know the implications for the playoffs down the road. Yeah, this is something that you know you'll be able to look back on. But I don't think we're gonna put that kind of emphasis on it during the week. Again, you know we'll prepare it like it's any other week. You know they're a good football team. You know there's no doubt about it. You don't get to 9-1 in this league, you know by fluke or circumstance. You know. Doesn't matter who you're playing or what their record is. I know a lot of people put emphasis on, you know, what type of W's do they have. And it's hard enough to get a win in this league, you know, more or less trying to qualify them. But, you know, a win is a win. And as we found out last week, you'll take it any way they come. Just as Atlanta found out last week, they'll take a W any way it comes.
Sure.
Matt Ryan threw five interceptions last week, and they had six turnovers, and they found a way to win the football game. So I think we're all looking forward to it, you know, because as it stands, you know, Atlanta's the team to beat in the NFC, and we got them twice here in the next 6 weeks. So I'm definitely looking forward to this week of preparation and getting ready, you know, to beat the record says is the best team in the NFL.
Couple of fun ones here off of Twitter. One from Robert who says, I wish I could listen, but I'm in class right now. So he responded on Twitter and says, what does the secondary have to do to slow down the receivers and Matty Ice? They obviously have some firepower, Rondé, real quick.
Yeah, they have a lot of firepower. You know, Julio, Roddy, Tony, you know, we got a great runner in Michael Turner. You know, they got one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, they're built to be explosive on offense. You know, not necessarily huge plays. I mean, they have them in their arsenal, but they're very methodical on offense. They'll take the long time. They'll go the hard way. We have to be patient. We have to not get beat over the top because, you know, they'll take their shots when they think they've lulled you to sleep. And that's something that obviously I've known from playing these guys over the past couple of years, something that me and the coaches and, you know, whoever else has that familiarity is going to have to convey to the secondary that, you know, do your job, play in and play out, and you'll give yourself a chance. And that doesn't change any week, but it'll have to be especially so this week when you're playing these guys.
Rick tweets in the obligatory weekly question. Rondé, was Sunday exciting enough to guarantee that you're back next year? We seem to get that like every week. A couple of weeks ago for the election, they wanted four more years.
Here, I got a story. I got a story for you here. It'll probably be a good way to end the show. So on this question, Daryl Green's son played at Virginia, and he's on Carolina's roster. And he came up to me after the game. I didn't recognize him. I remember seeing him when he was at Virginia. But he had a hood on and he had a full beard and he was joking with me and he said, you know, you got 16 in, man. You want me to tell Pops that you're gonna go for his record of 20 or whatever his dad's record.
It is 20, right?
I looked at him straight in the face and said, go home and tell your dad that his record is safe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure how Daryl Green got 20 years as a defensive back in the NFL. I know how I feel, and I feel pretty good for a 37-year-old guy still playing, 70 snaps a week. But to do that for another 3-4 years, man, I can't see that.
I don't know. Playing at a pretty high level. Stay tuned here. By the way, Robert tweets me again, said, got out of class, got in the car in time to hear that answer, thank you, about the Falcons. So you never know.
There you go. You're welcome.
They're with that. All right. Home game with the Falcons. Just real quick, one more time. I know you want to wish the fans a happy Thanksgiving and then see as many of them as possible at RJS Sunday, making as much noise as possible,
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Definitely enjoy your Thanksgiving. Have safe. Prosperous holiday. I think that's what we all want. Spend time with your family. Get lots of food. Hope that our weights coach doesn't weigh us in on Friday this week.
Hey, 10-second answer. What will be the toughest dessert to push away from Thursday?
Oh, God, there's some kind of pie, which I don't know what will be in it, but there's always
one. You got to push it away. Only have a little, right?
No doubt.
Listen, happy Thanksgiving. Go get them Sunday. We'll see you out there on Sunday, and thank you again on Buccaneers Total Access. All right?
Absolutely, TJ. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, there is Rondae Barber. My thanks also to Eric Sachs for being with us here tonight and making sure that we produce a show, and Davin Joseph as well. Again, Bucs and Falcons Sunday at 1. We're on the air at noon. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.